If you would open up your Bibles, we are continuing in our series on the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and I hope by the end of the series we'll have memorized these verses together. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you once again for a beautiful fall time in a beautiful place. You are so good to us. You've been so good. And so we would be good to others in Jesus' name. Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's your name, Jesus, that we always and only pray, saying amen. So again, continuing in the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, just briefly working through them. Remember, the first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, yes, it underpins everything. Again, biblical love is not about feelings, but the classic definition is willing or desiring the good of another, right? Apart from anything you can get out of it. That is so important for us to understand. Second fruit of the Spirit, anyone? Joy, right? Joy is different than happiness. Happiness can be based on happenstance or what's going on, but you can have a deep joy even when life isn't going particularly well for you. Right? Third fruit of the Spirit, anyone? Peace, yes, peace. Not peace, as the world says, is kind of an absence of war. That's not peace. Biblical peace, shalom is the Hebrew word, is a restful wholeness when God is in control and you can be confident in his movement in your life, even if things aren't going exactly like you want them to. And then the fourth fruit of the Spirit we looked at, here's a tough one, is what? Forbearance, the old word patience, right? Here's the thing. In your faith, as you practice sort of patient forbearance, that will lead to a long-suffering resilience. We talked about this in adult ed. If the body of Jesus Christ in the United States needs anything, we need resilience. We need resilience. We're desperate for that. Fifth fruit of the Spirit, right? Last week is what? Kindness, and kindness in the biblical notion, Old Testament, New Testament, means being merciful, loving, and generous. You know, there's a reason why we do things like the Halloween thing. You're like, well, why are you giving out all that candy? Sugar them up? Well, because then we can send them home and have fun. But, you know, we want to be generous. I'll never forget one father saying a couple years ago, it's like, these people give the best candy in town. Radical generosity in everything we say we do because it's kind. And so this morning, the sixth fruit of the Spirit is goodness. How do we acquire goodness? How do we acquire a truly biblical notion of this in our lives? Because, you know, we've said this before, but the last few years, past couple of years, have you noticed goodness? Plain old human decency and civility, those have exited stage left, haven't they? It's like, holy smokes, people are just nuts, right? And I was thinking about this sort of classic idea. I thought it was helpful. From the Greek philosopher Socrates, you may have heard this. Have anyone heard of his triple filter test? This is really practical, right? So the story, it goes far into eliminating gossip and slander, which are the exact opposites of goodness, really, and yet which people traffic in. So Socrates, as you probably knew, was praised for his wisdom. And one day, the story is told that an acquaintance ran up to him and said, Socrates, do you know what I just heard about your rival Diogenes? Here we go, fill in the blank. But Socrates said this, wait just a minute. Before you tell me what you're thinking about, I'd like you to pass the triple filter test. The first filter is this, it's truth. Is what you are about to tell me about my rival true? Well, I just heard about it. I don't really know if it's true or not. You know, it's just a juicy piece of gossip, right? Socrates said, all right, let's try the second filter. Is what you're about to tell me about my rival, is it good? Is it good? No, on the contrary, replied the man. So let me get this right. You want to tell me something about Diogenes that may be bad and that you're not certain that it's true and good. You still could pass the test with the third filter, and the third filter is usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my rival Diogenes going to be useful? To which the bewildered and ashamed man replied, well, not really. Well, concluded Socrates, if what you want to tell me is neither true nor good nor useful, why would you want to tell it to me or anyone else at all? Amen? I think that's good to remember the triple filter test. Is it true? Is it good? Is it useful? If not, dump it, right? Where do we go to find goodness that we need to live a truly healthy, holy life in a world that is so incredibly evil, right? Just turn on the news. Actually, don't turn on the news anymore, right? We've talked about this. Get in and get out. Well, went to the Bible once again. What does the Bible say about goodness? Now, it was really interesting. The Bible talks a lot about the good or good things or goodness over 800 times. In Hebrew, you may know the word for goodness. It is tav. Have you ever heard the Jewish explanation, mazel tav? Good luck. It's often done at a wedding or something like that. Tav means good. But it doesn't mean just good. It can mean something like this, beautiful bounty. And that doesn't have to be stuff, does it? We've had a beautiful fall, haven't we? What a blessing. I think it's going to freeze finally tonight. Man, we lucked out this year, or God was good. How about that? Mazel tov. The goodness of God is seen right at the beginning of the scriptures itself, even in the creation story, Genesis 1 and 2. Notice, you may have noticed this, after each day of creation, it's as if God is a master artist. He looks upon the finished work of each day, he blesses it, and the Bible says, and God saw it, and it was what? It was good. And at the end of the creation, on the sixth day, you'll notice after completing it, he looks at Adam and Eve, the very crown of his creation, and he looks at them and he says something slightly different. And it was what? It was very good. And then God rests. God's creation is good. And God has filled his creation with the goods, right, that we need to live well. We live in a place of beautiful bounty, right? Hard to argue that one in the valley here. In thinking about the goodness of God, in thinking about the good earth that he's given us, when you think about and notice his creation, how can you do anything other than give him thanks and praise for his pleasant prosperity? Again, that doesn't necessarily mean cash. He's prospered us in so many ways. Now, the New Testament Greek word for goodness, agathumia, is similar to the Old Testament. It can also mean rightness and virtue, but it reminded me, this is where we get the word from the Latin, benefits. You know the word benefits, right? David says in Psalm 103, 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of God's what? Benefits. Ooh, right? You notice these days when people take a job, the salary is rarely enough. What are they looking for? They want to know what the benefits are of taking this job, right? We need the bennies, don't we? Right? So a salary package has to deliver the goods. So you see how this word is used in the scriptures in a variety of ways. We know by experience, probably have stories growing up when we've had teachers who were not particularly kind or good to the students. Now, keep in mind, whenever you're in authority or something, remember Paul says, what you sow, you shall also what? Reap. What you plant, you will harvest. And I guess tonight you better harvest up stuff, right? It's gonna freeze, I think. Well, you're fun. Well, anyway, back to the students. So I was thinking about this week, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years since we've been in the Valley. But in addition to ministry, I was a college professor for 18 years, 12 part-time, 6 full-time. If you've ever been to college, you'll remember the teachers in high school and junior high and that, they're sort of groomed and paced to do very similar sorts of things in different subjects. But if you've been to college, you know profs can be vastly different from one another. And sometimes they're just a pain in the neck. I get it. Now, when I was teaching, I always insisted on being good to my students. I always saw that as part of my ministry for their well-being and that kind of thing. But if you've had experience, you know that a lot of profs will act like students are an inconvenience, right? Or treat them quite poorly. Some of you have those stories that always infuriated me. I actually had this happen once. This made my soul chill. Old Testament prof I knew once told me, she said, "God grades on a curve, but I do not." Do you know what you just said, right? I reminded her of Jesus's words in Luke 6. "Remember, professor, the measure that you use for others will be the measure he uses for..." Ooh, she didn't like that. Too bad, right? I remember profs, many of whom lacked sort of a godly goodness. And some of you have this experience too. They would tell students, if you're late to class, you're absent for the day. If you hand in an assignment late, it doesn't count towards your final grade. If you're late to an examination, they would not bother grading it. Pretty tough. I had one professor guy I knew, and I chided him for it. When students would turn in exams that weren't very good, he would look at them and say, "Do you want fries with that?" Like, what are you talking about? "Well, yeah, if you keep turning in garbage, that's what you're going to be saying for the rest of your life." Not good. Not godly. Right? But the good thing is, like all underdogs in life, students always find hilarious ways to foil their stingy professors. Kind of like the time when a student came in a minute late for the final exam, grabbed a copy, proceeded to sit down, do the work. But when he came to turn it in, the angry professor chided him and said, "I told you that if you are coming even a minute late, I will not grade your final exam." The student, being clever, looked at the professor and said this, "Don't you know who I am?" And the prof smugly replied, "I certainly do not." To which the student cried, "Oh, thank goodness." And he shoved it in the middle of the final exams and ran out of the room. These things happen. Yeah, it's hilarious. Right? It's getting busy again, and Thanksgiving, we've got Halloween and Thanksgiving, and then soon there will be Advent and all of that stuff. I was just laughing because it's going to get busy. You know that little controlling Christmas song children learn? "You better not shout, you better not cry." Am I singing that? "You better not pout. Ain't nothing to do with Santa Claus." What's the other line in it? Have you ever noticed? "So be good for..." That's what we're talking about. God has been good to you. He's been good to me. Pay it forward, people, in goodness. Amen? Be good to other people. Jesus makes that very clear. If real Christian love isn't about feelings, but willing the good of another without expecting anything in return, then isn't it clear that it will be impossible for us to grow in goodness if we make life all about ourselves? What a boring story. We don't have to live our own small stories. We can be a part of the epic story, the Christian faith. Remember Jesus' words, Luke 6:38, "Give and it will what? Be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap," right? "For the measure that you use for others will be the measure that's used for you, me." What an incredible picture of God's economy regarding goodness, right? And the love that we're to live out and demonstrate to others. You know, I once had a pastor asked me, he said, "What do you think are the most important spiritual gifts for life in America today?" I was like, he was trying to set me up. You know, questions that aren't questions? It's like, He wanted me to say a certain thing. I said, "That's easy. Mercy and hospitality. Be merciful to people. Be hospitable. Be good to them. Oh, and their hearts will open." You preach to them, they're probably not going to listen, right? They don't want to hear, you know. They've heard it. But be good in Jesus' name. and you might get an audience. You probably will. As it turns out, Paul places goodness as the sixth fruit of the Spirit as for a very good reason, because they sort of build on each other, right? Without a biblical love, without a biblical joy, a biblical peace, without biblical patient forbearance, without a biblically kind generosity, there will be no biblical goodness in our lives, right? Loveless, joyless, impatient, unkind, wicked individuals, we got to be careful, because they can steal a portion of that fruit from us. They can sometimes, it feels like they steal joy or our willingness to be kind or good to them. I get it, right? We have to be immersed in the goodness of God as followers of Jesus Christ. And the good news is God has a place for everyone in his kingdom. And you can speak to people about the goodness of God that wouldn't give me the time of day. You want to ruin a perfectly good conversation with an unbeliever? And Jim, what do you do for a living? Pastor, remember the vinyl? It's over with. You don't have that occupational hazard, right? Have you thought about that? Everybody has a place in God's economy. But it's important to know what our gifts and what our talents are. You know, it's important to get on the bus and then get on the right seat, said the various business gurus, right? And if you miss some of that in discernment, it can turn out poorly, even bad. It can sometimes not be good, or it can be weird, kind of like the time. When two men were commuters on the Chicago subway, yeah, I remember those days, and they got on at the same station for years and years. Then one day, the guy saw the other guy, and he didn't look good. He just didn't look well at all. So he introduced himself, and he said, "I'm sorry, I couldn't help but noticing. You don't look good today. Are you okay?" Other man said, "Yeah, it's true. I'm not doing well. My false teeth are killing me." "You don't say," said the other man. "Well, why don't you let me have a good look at them and see if I can help?" So he took them home to work on them, and he brought them back the next morning on the subway in a little package. He said, "Try these on." And the man put them on. He's like, "Oh, this is a vast improvement, but they're still a little tight on the side." Anybody have parents or grandparents with dentures? They used to freak me out as a kid. My grandfather used to go, "Rrr," you know, it's like... I knew a guy at Canyon View Church who one day had a false leg, and he put it on the greeters stand out front and freaked out all the kids. It was hilarious. They were traumatized, but I'm a child. But these are pretty good, but they're a little tight. Okay, I'll take them home and work on them again, and we'll see how it looks tomorrow morning. The next day, he presented him with a small package. He tried them on. He said, "These are perfect. How did you do it? You must be a fantastic dentist." To which the other gentleman replied, "Oh, thanks so much for saying so, but I'm not a dentist." Astonished, the man with false teeth explained, "How is it possible that you did such a good job on my teeth and you're not even a dentist?" To which the other gentleman replied modestly, "Oh, that's easy. I'm a funeral director." That's not good. Do you want more goodness in your life this fall? I've said it before, focus on Jesus Christ, who is goodness incarnate in the flesh, and you will experience more of his goodness. The less you focus on Jesus Christ, the less of his goodness you will experience. It is a choice. Goodness is not such the complicated or tricky thing that sometimes I think we think of it as, but rather, as I've tried to do with this series, is maybe helping us understand, recover biblical goodness in our lives. Here's a few takeaway points. Maybe something will catch your attention. First of all, remember this: biblical goodness reminds us that before sin, God declared the whole creation as what? As good, and we can see that. And men and women were created in his very image, and they were very good. Look underneath the surface. Look, as Mother Teresa said, for the image of God that's inside each and every person, no matter what they look like on the outside. How could she minister to rat-eaten, maggot-infested people in Calcutta? Because she She knew that underneath all of that, God had made them in their image, and they deserve dignity and goodness, right? If you can get underneath that surface of those people in your life that you're like, now you're going to get serious. This will be good because God loves them. Secondly, God, biblical goodness, we see David's declaration. It's actually a psalm, Psalm 103:2. Maybe you need to memorize this verse. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of God's what? Benefits. The bennies of the Lord are good. Amen? They are good. Finally, biblical goodness reminds us that how good we are to other people really, really matters, right? Jesus reminds us, here's a verse for you too, Luke 6:38. The measure that you and I use in being good to other people is the measure that God will use in your life and in my life. Amen? The goodness of God, as we just sang. I hope that this fruit of the Spirit will become more and more real to you. It will be a powerful witness in your life to unbelievers if they see the goodness of God in you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thanks for the privilege of being in your house this morning. King David also sang and said, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because it's good and it's a gift of yours. And so, Lord, as we continue this time of worship, as we go forth into our week, we do pray for your goodness in our lives, and help us to spread the goodness of Jesus to people who need it so desperately. And we give you thanks and praise in his name. Amen.